This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I'm here with Gerhard Drolshagen from ESA, and he just gave a talk about the Space Situational Awareness Programme in NEO and a Fireball database. So, first of all, can you just explain what the NEO and Space Situational Awareness Programme are?
Well, ESA started the so-called Space Situational Awareness in 2009. And the purpose is to find out what is going on around the Earth in the near-Earth space. And it has three segments. One is called surveillance and tracking. And this deals with the knowledge about satellites and space debris, so space junk particles. A second one deals with the space weather, so to see the interactions of the sun, solar storms, and the radiation levels in space, for example. And the third segment, and that's where I'm mainly involved in, is the near-Earth object segment. So we want to know how many asteroids and comets are out there that could be a potential threat to Earth.
So it's a way of mapping the objects that are out there so that we know what is actually out there.
That is correct. First of all, you have to find them. And then, once you found an object, you have to calculate the orbit. And only that allows you to predict, is this object a potential threat to Earth? Could it impact Earth?
How would you actually go about finding them?
This is normally done by ground-based telescopes to find these objects. And right now, about 9,000 near-Earth objects are known.
9,000?
That is correct. 9,000 of various sizes. About a little less than 1,000 is bigger than 1 kilometer. And about another 1,000 is smaller than 30 meters. And the others are in between. The estimation is that an object larger than about 30 meters can do serious damage when it hits Earth. So they are big enough to really destroy cities and do some other type of damage. And there are some models, some estimations, that there are about 500,000 to 1,000,000 that are larger than 30 meters. So if we know something like 9,000, there's still a lot of work to be done. Finding them is the first step.
Yeah, I can see why it's very, very important to know where these objects are so we can evaluate them, I guess, before it became a problem.
That is correct. Once the orbit is known, normally what is done by some experts who cooperate with us, mainly a group from Pisa in Italy, they calculate the orbits for the coming 100 years. It's not really possible to do it for a longer time in the future, but we think for now that is enough. And then for each one of these objects that is known, they calculate the orbit for about 100 years in the future and then find out, is there a certain risk that they collide with Earth?
Oh, wow. So you can actually calculate that far in advance, like 100 years. How do you actually go about doing that?
Well, that is correct. You have, when you start, you have a certain uncertainty in your orbit, and then you propagate by a Monte Carlo procedure, splitting one object into many, many small ones and following each one of them, and then you can see, is there a certain probability? You just follow Newton's law and include some perturbations. You account for if the objects pass close to another planet, and you count for the deviations. And this you can do quite accurately, but not exactly, for about 100 years. That means in the end you will never get an exact solution, but you get maybe a result like, oh, the chance is 1 in 1,000 that it could hit Earth. If it hits, you normally will know the time when it does it, because it has to be at the same position in space as Earth is at that time.
It's incredible that you can predict them that far in advance using these mathematical and statistical techniques. So, yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
I could add, if I might, that right now, so when we have done this, out of these 9,000 near-Earth objects, so a near-Earth object is defined as an object that is in some orbit that comes up to about 45 million kilometers to the Earth's orbit. To the orbit, it doesn't mean close to the Earth. And out of these 9,000 that we know right now, there are about 335 that have a non-zero probability, which is very, very small, but larger than zero, that they will collide with Earth within the next 100 years.
Well, it's quite nice to know that there aren't all 9,000 potentially interacting with the Earth's orbit. Yeah, but there's still 335. It's quite a lot for the next 100 years.
That's correct. But again, most of all, these chances are very, very small, typically one in tens of thousands or a hundred of thousands. So it's nothing really to worry about. There's none known object that is on a direct collision course with Earth right now.
So you are also developing a fireball database. Can you explain what this database is and what it's going to contain?
That is correct. I mean, the main aim is to find these near-Earth objects when they are in space and not when they are colliding with Earth. But if you come towards smaller sizes, and the smaller you go in your particle sizes, the more there are, and the numbers increase drastically. So normally the lower limit is about a few meters of objects that you can detect in space. But if objects get smaller and smaller, there are even more, and they, because there are so many, they will hit the Earth. But normally then they burn up completely in the atmosphere, and depending on their size, if they are of millimeter size, they are called meteors, they are nice to watch. But if they get bigger, some tens of centimeters to a meter, there are very bright fireballs. They can be as bright as the sun for a few seconds, or definitely brighter than the moon. And these are seen by people worldwide, and they are concerned. And it is therefore we also decided to include in our work not just the big NEOs, which are out in space, but also fireballs that did impact the Earth itself, just to complement the size range towards smaller sizes as well.
So you sort of get more of a full coverage of sizes.
That is correct. I mean, there is one reason is to be a service to the general public, to be aware if some bright fireball happened, what was that, if we get inquiries at the space agency and at this NEO segment. A second point is if they reach something like a size of a meter or a few meters, because they are so fast, if they impact the Earth's atmosphere with, let's say, 20 kilometers per second, which is a typical velocity, they have an enormous amount of energy. And when they burn up, they tend to explode, and this energy is released. It is just the kinetic energy, and this is equivalent to a small atomic bomb. I mean, many people don't realize this, but an object of 7 to 8 meters in diameter has the equivalent energy when it explodes of the Hiroshima bomb. And this might not do any damage, because this will happen at some tens kilometers up in the atmosphere. But people will be concerned if you would see a nuclear explosion. And so that's also one reason we want to be aware. Of course, ideally, we would like to see it coming. But so far, this has happened only once, that an object that in the end burned up was detected before in space. That was in 2008, an object that in the end exploded over Sudan and then dropped some meteorites. So therefore, we try to get a complete coverage for various reasons. One is to know what has happened, to be able to predict it, and then also to have a database to extrapolate flux models towards smaller sizes for scientific purposes, but also maybe to help meteorite searchers try to find them by giving the information where the fireball was observed.
So this fireball database will be available for people to access for free?
Yes, it should be freely available and online available. But of course, first the data has to be put in. And our aim is to collect information on all fireballs brighter than a certain magnitude, minus 10 for the experts, so only the real bright ones. And somehow we need to get information. We don't have no sensors ourselves to collect the information, so we count on cooperations and support from other scientists and people who observe those to make this information available to us.
So if someone were to see a fireball, they could report it?
Yes, I think we still have to establish the exact procedure. Very often also first they should report it to a locally existing fireball network, and then we contact those people, how many reports did you get, and try to include it into our database. The exact procedure still has to be established.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me all about this.